Well, hasn't this pandemic been such a lot of fun? I'm really sorry it's been a while between episodes. It's been 6 months to be exact, but hey, that's what the pandemic does, eh? And who's counting? I'm Dani, and I run the Chatchy Power Project. The Chatchy Chats podcast was created in 2020 and is all about the human experience and how we navigate those experiences in these little bodies of ours. A few months ago, Sol and Colette and I had this chat about weddings. She's been a photographer at a good few, and she's specifically renowned for making brides and their bridal parties feel at ease on what is normally a rather stressful day. We talk about bodies, beauty, and the pressure on brides, as well as their grooms and their guests. We also talk about what the pandemic has changed about weddings. Are there any positive outcomes from this dreary situation we're all currently traversing? You might be surprised. Just a word of warning that there are a few sweary words because clearly Solon and I have foul mouths and bring out the worst in each other. And here's Solon to kick off our chat with some appropriate excuses.
Sure, this month it'll have been a year since I actually shot a full day wedding, so I feel like I'm not totally fresh with this patter, but we'll see.
Also, have you ever been married?
No, I thought we should have a disclaimer at some point. First up, never be married. Not likely to ever be a bride.
I love going to them. I'm just not really fussed about having my own.
Yeah. It's so like eye-opening to see how many people got in touch with really fucking tragic chat about how something that's a massive, massive thing in their lives, and it's essentially someone else accepting them for who they are, but they had this whole situation where they couldn't accept themselves at that point. It's really fucking heartbreaking. So I think it's important to tell those stories.
Solon, hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good.
We were introduced by a couple of friends of mine who suggested that I get in touch with you because you were doing this really cool project about mental health. And I told them that I was actually speaking to you today. Andy told me to mention nipple eyes to you. And now I want to hear the story.
Yeah, Andy was my flatmate a very long time ago. I don't even know if that's a good story to tell. It involves Sharpies and drawings and things.
And nipples.
Nipples, basically, yeah. He used to draw nipples on his eyes on his nipples, even.
I'm going to ask him to recreate that for me.
It's a strong vibe.
Maybe socially distanced from the eye nipples.
Yeah, just watch yourself if it winks at you.
Okay. And so I came over to your flat. We'd never met each other before. I came in and it was very trusting of both of us, I think. You proceeded to like project words onto my body and take pictures of me, having never met me before and me never meeting you before and not knowing much about each other. And that's like a pretty bonding experience. But why don't you explain a little bit more about that project if you'd like to?
Yeah, and it's something I really was hoping to pick up again this winter, but nobody's allowed in my home studio now, I guess. So we'll see. Oh. Take a little longer to get back into it. But essentially, it was an idea that kind of grew out of grief therapy that I was having after a friend died. And I'd been thinking a lot about how we hold on to negative terms and words that maybe we tell ourselves or that someone else has said to us at some point in our lives and the massive effect they can have on us. And I kind of wanted to just do this project where we basically shine a light on that specific word that has caused us harm and to try and release it from, I guess, how we internalize that word. It was a really interesting project to start. I've definitely not finished it, nowhere near. But yeah, it felt quite important at the time and it's something that I'd really love to go back to because it was really interesting how everybody, there was a word immediately that everyone that I spoke to about the project had.
I knew my word straight away.
That's it. And it's wild to think that we hold on to these things. And we never talk about them.
It was really nice because you got people to like, well, you asked us to like kind of, you know, like really take control of the word. And we had already probably done quite a lot of work to take control of the words ourselves. And you see people like beaming while they're connected to the word, but they're like, they're beaming because they know that they've like overcome it.
Yeah.
You capture that really well in the photos.
Yeah. I know, I really want to kind of do some more because it was really eye-opening for me as well to see how other people have dealt with things that they've internalized. It really helped me kind of let go of a lot of things and process a lot of negative things myself. Yeah, it's a lovely way to connect with people.
It's amazing how people like hold on to it, like how much things like scar your psyche from like when you can be really quite little. And how you carry that through your life.
Very relevant to our chat today as well.
Yeah. So when we met you, I only knew you through this project, but we quickly got talking about what you do for your day job, which is mainly wedding photography.
Mainly, yeah.
You know, how are you doing since like...
It's been a pretty wild year. Essentially, my wedding season was supposed to start a week after lockdown.
Bad timing.
Yeah, and this year it was going to take me kind of to the Highlands as usual. Like I shoot all over Scotland mainly, but this year I was meant to go to Tuscany. I had shoots in London, and luckily for me, most things have postponed or couples have completely kind of turned their plans on their head and done something far more personal, which has been totally different to what they had envisioned, but has ended up being something really personal and interesting and much more relaxed. Usually I guess it's like when you do something so tiny and you've kind of battled to make it happen on the day, there's the kind of stress and pressure is all kind of gone. It's just because the restrictions are so tight at the moment, couples are just with their immediate family and their very best friends, people that know them the best, and you can see that they're far more relaxed in themselves. So it's actually been quite positive.
Are you still allowed to like do the weddings? Like,
God, who knows? Every week it feels like it's changing. At the moment, I think you're only allowed groups of up to 20 in a licensed premises or outside, but you can't do it in your own private garden anymore. That changed just in the last couple of days. It's difficult. Like, my heart goes out to all the couples who have had to change their plans, because I mean, it's a huge thing.
And you, as a photographer, are couples reconsidering having a photographer even there because that's taking up one of the valuable spaces? Or is it still that photographers are like, no, we really want to capture this day?
Yeah, no, I think it's made them realize how important photography is. So like the first couple that I worked with during lockdown in Glasgow, the venue would only let them have 13 people in the building, but they really wanted me there to capture the ceremony for everybody else, because they had a Zoom video set up for friends to watch the ceremony. But I mean, there's so many people that should have been there that, you know, would have been actually in the bridal party even, or a reading or whatever, that weren't even allowed to travel. And it's really emotional for them still. It hasn't changed the fact that those connections are there. Like, I did a wedding in a garden a couple of weeks ago, and one of the bride's best friends had just recorded a video message, and they played that, and it nearly had me in tears, and I've never met her. But she just said such lovely things, and because she'd had the time to sit and consider it, it was really personal as well. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing to see how everything's just kind of evolved, and it sort of brings home what's at the centre of it, what it's actually about.
It's a nice kind of silver lining, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's constantly changing. Who knows what's going to happen? Hopefully we'll get a handle on it and things will kind of evolve so that couples can have bigger celebrations again soon. But yeah, small ones are still a very amazing thing to be witness to.
I know that you pride yourself on like getting people really relaxed when it's their big day, because I mean, you did say to me that you like love taking people down back lanes and alleys and where it's just the two of them, and so that nobody else is looking on, and like they can just relax and chill and have a laugh and a giggle. What are some of your tricks to getting people relaxed when they're getting their picture taken? Because getting your picture taken is so anxiety inducing for a lot of people.
Oh, it's horrific. I hate being photographed. I think that's why I kind of do things the way I do them. essentially I'm just a bit of a daft sweary wee thing, and so it's out of context usually as well. Like, if you actually think of what it is, it's such an absurd thing to do, to be photographed. It's kind of a strange thing. But I think we've all in our heads, when you think about being photographed, you think about, well, for me, it's my granny would have taken like 5 to 10 minutes to take one photograph of like a wee group out somewhere, I don't know, or on a day out or whatever. And then she'd have cut her heads off in the photo anyway. And by then, like, your face is just gurning because you're like, I've been standing here for 5 minutes and you still haven't taken a photo. And like, you know, it goes back to like those kind of situations. But the way I shoot and the way most photography, I guess, in events and weddings work now, it's much more candid than that. And so it's sort of finding ways to let couples kind of relax into it and see that it's not about standing there pulling that weird camera face that they do for whoever it is in their family that's the person that takes horrific photos that take all day. It's sort of relaxing into just being yourself while someone creeps around you with a camera.
Do you ever do those staged ones where it's like, you know, the bride's family on the left and the groom's, whatever it is?
Do you know what? Grannies and mums totally still like those kind of group shots. And so we do shoot them still, but I get Tourette's at that point because I'm the center of attention. And for some reason, that's where my brain goes. It's like, I'll just say something that is like a wee bit dodgy, and then it's like a tap. I always say to couples, get me a wingman that knows who everyone is, and we just get everyone, like, it's almost like speedy boarding, get them all in a corner, and then like fucking bash through them. Otherwise, it's grannies are going to be offended, children are going to be like, they don't need to know at a wedding. So yeah, well, like, we do them, but it's definitely not my favorite part of the day.
I think I've been to so many weddings where like it's just so haphazard, and the bridesmaids aren't doing their job, and or the groomsmen aren't doing their jobs. Yeah. I'm like, I start going, right, I'm just gonna fucking do it.
Well, that's exactly like what it needs, because it can get out of control. And I think couples can be a wee bit bullied into like getting a massive list of groups from their families, because it's like, oh, we have to get Auntie so-and-so because we've not seen her for 5 years. It's like, right, well, you've not seen her for 5 years. Why do you need a photo of her now? Like, you don't actually like her enough to see her. So, like, what the fuck? You know, I just think it can all, previous generations as well, there's certain ways that weddings worked then. And so these traditions, people think you have to kind of buy into them, and you don't at all. It's a celebration of two people coming together. It doesn't need to be any of those boring, rigid things at all. You can do exactly what you want on a wedding. And so just enjoy the day and like be present in it. It'll fly by, and it's a really surreal, weird thing to do. So just enjoy that time. And I think actually after COVID, it'll change because people will be so much more up for it. Like I know that there's folk that are like, you know, a certain age who maybe like every single weekend for their whole summer, it's like they're going to a wedding or a stag or hen party. Everyone sort of seems to get married in groups, and they just get so bored of them. And by the end of like summer, they're like, oh my God, not another Kaylee. But actually next year they might be like, oh my God, we're allowed to dance with our pals. This is amazing.
I can touch people.
Yeah, people will embrace it a bit more, I think, and sort of maybe just ditch like the bullshit a wee bit and kind of realize a wee bit more what it's for, and focus on that a wee bit more.
When we got talking, you were saying that a lot of the concerns that people have about getting their photograph taken can be related to like their body image concerns. And obviously that is my shtick. So I'm really interested in that. I mean, disclaimer. Let's just have a disclaimer.
Never been married.
Not like never been married. But we're going to really have our opinion on weddings today.
Yeah, of course we're going to be opinionated about it. But yeah, I've never been married. So all of what I say comes from my own experience as a very lucky witness to all of these things through my work, nothing to do with personal experience, I guess.
So what are some of the things that kind of have come up to do with bodies? I presume like you will probably have come into contact with people having issues with all aspects of their bodies. Everything is under scrutiny on that day because they know a million pictures are getting done, and because there's so much pressure of it being, you know, them having to look their most beautiful that they've ever looked ever, and it being the best day of their life. So the scrutiny goes like right down to the minuscule. So what are some of the things, and how does it kind of show up when you're doing shoots?
I think a lot of it, well, most weddings, I guess you're planning them for like a year. If it's kind of a bigger thing, generally couples will maybe plan for a year, maybe longer if it's something they need to budget for. So if you think about how much headspace you're giving that one day, plus just the traditional pressures of, like you say, supposedly it's got to be the most joyful day ever. You're supposed to look the most amazing version of yourself that you've ever been. And of course that totally affects people. Folks will say anything from, oh, they come up with all sorts of ways of hating themselves. It's quite wild. Like sometimes brides will sort of tell us a little bit about their partner's insecurities. And I think in a way that is just trying to open up the dialogue to say, I have some insecurities. Sometimes maybe it is just that they know that their partner is really insecure about that thing and can't really speak about it openly. Sometimes, you know, there's lots of jokes about, oh, you can Photoshop this about me. But really, yeah, anything from, we've had brides who have body dysmorphia issues. There's been people who have kind of hated every single different part of their bodies, really, because anything from kind of acne marks to old tattoos to their teeth to a bald spot to their weight, we've got all sorts of stuff. It is, I guess, because it's such a pressured day, these things do get magnified for people. And yeah, I guess it's just trying, for us, it's trying to remind them to take a breath and to remember why they're there.
And I would really struggle to like hear that, that it's negativity.
It's horrible. It's heartbreaking actually, because to think that like a wedding is a connection between two people. It's essentially someone saying, I see you, I see your flaws, I see how human you are. And I really love that. And for people to not be able to go, yeah, you're right. It's so tragic, you know, like to think that someone, you know, it's always the bride that's walking down the aisle. So imagine like the last thought that you have before you're away to like say to your best pal, I love you and I'm going to be there, whatever happens. Like the last thought before that is, oh, I hate my ass, or, you know, do I look frumpy in this? Or like, that's tragic. Like it shouldn't be like that. But from birth, we're kind of force fed all of this stuff about how our appearance is supposedly more important than our brains or how we treat people and ourselves.
From birth, you're getting sold that message, but you're getting sold that message specifically about weddings from such a young age as well.
Like Disney High, the whole idea that even, oh my God, my kid had a school book and his teacher pronounced his teacher up about it because I was like, how are we selling this narrative to kids? This is a fucking outrage. It was all about this girl that was kind of like a lonely princess, and then if she didn't find her prince, like her life was going to be terrible. And I was like, can't understand why this is still a thing. And she's like, well, it shouldn't be, but she's invested loads of her own money in buying books for the class so that there's less of those things that she has to read to them. It's there from so young, and that is kind of when we start to take on board those unhelpful words that we spoke about earlier. And quite often we'll internalize those things and they come out as physical bits of ourselves that we don't like. It's actually got nothing to do with that. It's about some other insecurity that we've been fed through a horrible situation or something that someone said, or it could be all number of different things, but getting to the bottom of that can be quite difficult, I suppose. And that's probably why we're having this conversation.
Yeah. Has there ever been anything that made, like really just broke you?
Yeah, there's lots of things. There was actually a wedding and the bride was super nervous. And like her mum and her brother came in and just said something really snide about how she looked. And I found that really hard to hold my tongue, actually. I had to take a wee step back because I just thought, like, she's a really lovely woman. And I can see how much that would affect you as a person, like, to be spoken to like that. But obviously, I don't really know them, so I couldn't get involved. But you see all sorts of things, and sometimes it's quite often mums will be really nervous at weddings, and they can just, and that can come out as like a snippy little comment, you know, because it's their nerves and they don't know how to sort of hold on to them. And yeah, it's difficult sometimes. You sort of do have to be like, wow, okay.
I wonder, like, you saying that about the family coming in and saying something nasty to the bride on her wedding day, if you think if they can do something like that to her on such a special day, what must she have been hearing her whole life?
Exactly. It totally makes you feel, yeah. And like, we're an empathetic bunch, people that work in weddings, so it can be quite draining to work at that kind of wedding. Luckily it's not usually that kind of wedding. It's more, I think there's things like that we really need to stop saying. Can we stop the speeches that sort of say, and don't the bridesmaids look lovely? All of these things that just, they just keep it going, you know? And it's like,
can I tell you that when my cousin got married, and she's hilarious, and she was like, I'm doing a speech at my own wedding. Like, no one's stopping me from doing a speech. And she got up and she was like, right, I'm going to start this speech the way all weddings speeches start. And doesn't the bride look beautiful? There's a massive roar. So perfectly her. But I was like, I'm keeping that for when I get married. That'll be my using that.
No, I like it when people kind of subvert all these things. Like, we had a groom that sort of told the bridesmaids that they looked like they could be part-time models in the 60s, but they'd still have to do some clerical hours. We all just like cry laughing. It was brilliant because it was just yeah. I like it when these things are kind of turned on their head a little bit and we kind of remember that it's bullshit.
Yeah,
but I think it's really hard on the day to take that step back. And in planning, you know, I mean, people lose their shit. They're spending like hundreds of pounds on flip-flops just in case people are like, I've got sore feet at the dancing bit. That whole part of it is insane, how much it can be all consuming. You know, you have to have this like perfect party for everybody, and you have to make sure you're entertaining every single one of your guests. And I always say to couples to take some time out. It's not about them, it's about you. They're here because they love you, or they want a free dinner. And like, remember that you don't have to entertain them all. You have to remember that it's a celebration of the point that you're at in your relationship, and that you've got to a situation where you feel like you can say to each other, I want you around forever. And that's lovely. I've never had that. I think that's an amazing thing for human beings to say to each other. And that's all a wedding should be, two people saying that to each other.
Can I just point out the bit that I hate about weddings for the bride and groom is the bit during the meal where the bride and groom have to come around all the tables and say hi to everyone. And I'm like, you don't, I don't get to eat at my wedding? What? No.
Like, they've spent months chatting to their caterers or whatever about the tastiest meal they can find for everybody. And then they don't get to sit and enjoy it.
Like, the that's best not happening at my wedding.
And that's it. And then we steal them away for couple shots just as everyone else is getting these like beautifully crafted canapés. I'm like, there guys, would... a fucking tray of canapés and a bottle of champagne with you.
There would be a very unhappy number of photographs if I was taken away from hors d'oeuvres. I think we've been talking about doing this sort of chat for maybe over a year. I don't know.
Feels like, yeah, forever.
And then we got together to discuss all of the different aspects of what would be involved in this sort of conversation. We came up with a million things and we were like, this is going to be a seven-parter. Like, and then and COVID hit. So, you know, that put a kibosh on getting together and actually recording stuff. But we did put a shout out to our followers and people that we know to tell us stories related to bodies and marriages and weddings. And it was amazing.
Such honest responses. It's really generous of people to tell us all of those things that they must have really struggled with.
So I'm going to read some out throughout our chat, just so that you can get insight into the sort of like buzzkill of marriage culture that some people have experienced. Some of them are really lovely and like, it's really good advice and nice advice, but some of it is horrendous.
Yeah.
I wanted to start off with this quote from Megan Jane Crabb, who's Body Posy Panda on Instagram. And she wrote a piece about weddings for Rock and Roll Bride, who's Cat Williams, Rock and Roll Bride on Instagram. And it says, "One thing that the diet industry does sickeningly well is prey on women at times when they are the most susceptible to feeling insecure. There are two moments, especially, that this is clear as can be: pre-wedding and post-baby. Both milestones that we're taught to see as quintessential moments of womanhood, both life-altering, powerful, unforgettable events, both distilled by our culture into the number that flashes on a scale when they happen." And from that same blog, she talks about a few different stats that Cornell University came up with in regards to weight loss, because, you know, I do want to talk about weight loss as part of this conversation, because it's such a massive thing that's expected.
It's part of it, yeah, definitely.
So it said 70% of brides want to lose weight. 40% use one extreme weight control behavior like pills, fasting, and skipping meals. And 14% of brides buy a wedding dress which is one or two sizes smaller.
That's quite scary, isn't it, when you hear the actual stats?
Yeah, I remember being a bridesmaid for a friend of mine, and this was like before Chachi and before change of mindset about my own body, and when I was very much deep in diet culture. And I remember her saying, "I'm not going to lose weight for my wedding because I want to look like me on the day." And I just remember being like, "What?"
That's it. It's so ingrained in the whole process, though. It's terrifying how much that whole idea of, like, women have to be the skinniest, and that part of what we are supposed to consider as beautiful, being a slender version of yourself, is insane.
I've got one story that someone sent in that said, "Despite being excited about my wedding, I found that planning it triggered self-esteem issues that I'd worked to overcome. The idea of being center of attention and being photographed caused me to feel much more conscious of my appearance all throughout the planning stages and in the days leading up to the wedding. I worried about parts of myself I didn't like and went to the gym regularly to get in better shape." That was in inverted commas. "People also often mentioned wedding diets and asked me about me fitting into my dress, which made me feel as though I should have been thinking about those things. Although I loved the experience, I felt a huge sense of relief when the day was over and believe the pressure to look good enough was the biggest contributing factor to my stress."
Yeah. Isn't that horrible, that pressure to change what you look like for one day just because of all these things? And it's funny, it's, people will say these things just for something to say because they don't really know what else to say apart from, "Oh, congratulations, how's the planning going?" You know, that's like the next thing. It's just like when people get married, the next conversation is always like, "Oh, when are you having babies?" Right, you have zero idea of these people's, like, fertility. So fuck off, it's none of your business. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just weird how we do these things as kind of habit.
Yeah, it's just so common.
Yeah, we forget the effect that they have on people. It's exactly like the Unhelpful Words project that we were chatting about earlier. It's like we internalize all these things instead of going, "Fuck off." I think we need to find a way of empowering each other to kind of take a step back and go, "Why are you saying that? Like, come on, have a think before."
And also calling out strangers' fat phobia.
Yeah, it's definitely.
There's also the thing about, like, growing your hair. Someone sent a message saying, when planning started, everyone was very, very concerned with my weight loss and if I would be growing my hair because I simply couldn't get married in the state I was in. Then this gets really, it just shows how much someone will potentially interrupt their plans because of the all-consuming effect of body image issues. She says, "For 2 months, I barely ate. I felt like shit. I cried a lot. Then I told my fiance we had to postpone the wedding so I had more time to lose weight."
That's horrific.
"And then I then got a severe talking to from him. The wedding was not postponed and we spent the remaining 4 months eating whatever we wanted. But she said, look anywhere, even the alternative indie wedding magazines and blogs, and it's all much of the same. It only seems to be blonde, skinny, able-bodied women that get married."
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I think the whole industry is really guilty of that. I think wedding photographers are very guilty of that. I'm probably guilty of it myself. I think we do all of these workshops and things to teach us how to, like, because we're not business people, we're creatives. And we're like, oh, fuck, how do we tell anyone we exist? And we're constantly told about, you know, curating your social media. And it gets to the point where everyone's just posting the same shit. And I actually really struggle with that myself. But visual diet is such a huge part of this whole thing. I think social media is horrific for that. And traditional press is awful. Everywhere you look, it is, it's true. Like Mother of the Bride in a magazine will be like a 25-year-old model, and just because, well, she's not 15. So she can't, like, the bride is 15. And it's like, what the fuck?
25-year-old model with a giant hat on.
Oh, with a big hat and like a weird sort of lilac shaded outfit. You're like, what the hell? I think the main advice I would give to engaged couples is, first of all, watch your visual diet. Like, take control of what you're looking at. And don't buy into that bullshit. Don't give yourself that opportunity to. If that's all you're seeing, then stop looking at it. You don't need your wedding to be like anyone else's. You don't even need to take on board those images if you don't want to. Only thing you really need to think about, all you need at a wedding is you two, someone to officiate. That's it, essentially. Everything else is decorative. So keep that in mind. You don't have to consume that stuff at all. Just ditch it.
I got this really lovely story from a woman. It's quite good advice. She says, I knew wedding dress shopping would knock my already shaky body confidence, so I decided to get a dress made by a dressmaker friend. I know it's an incredibly privileged thing to get to do, but I was very happy with my decision. My dress was exactly what I wanted. I was also able to have it made into a top and a skirt so I could wear it again as separates. Smart thinking. I was super stressed about having my arms out. There's too much bridal arms propaganda. I'm like, this is something that's very new to me. I didn't know that this was a thing, but like, apparently there's bridal arms propaganda. And so I created a Pinterest board and an Instagram saved folder of amazing brides of all sizes with their arms out. I also didn't look at any wedding blogs or magazines except A Practical Wedding on Instagram, which I'll put a link to in the show notes, which is brilliant at representing all types of folks. The pressure to look the best you have ever looked on the one day is so ever present. It still seeped in. It was an ongoing battle. I just kept looking at photos of fat babes in wedding dresses and the sketch of my wedding dress and reminding myself they were awesome and so am I.
Good stuff.
Legendary.
Yeah, it's more sustainable too to get something designed for yourself if you can, if that is something you can afford. Or look at vintage as well. Like, you don't have to. I also just think it's this whole idea of dress shopping as being this terrifying thing. They're there to provide a service. You shouldn't go in there feeling intimidated before it's even begun.
It's supposed, some of them can be quite intimidating.
Like, if it feels like that's, if it's an intimidating environment, just walk the fuck out. Remember what it's about, you know, take control of it that way. You don't have to put yourself through anything that makes you feel negative feelings.
In regards to vintage, someone did send in a story that said something along the lines of, I did go to the vintage shop because I wanted vintage rather than a new bridal gown, but she made me wear gloves, so I went home and I made my own dress. It's like, great.
I can kind of see why, but I can see both sides of that. I would say in a vintage store, they're one-off pieces, so they have to make everybody wear those, I would say, just to protect the garment so that they're not selling stuff that's marked. But I can see why that would maybe cause offense as well.
If it was me, she'd probably clock that I'd just probably eaten a buttery croissant on my way in. And she'd be like, no, not you, no, step away. In regards to like short-term weight loss for weddings, if you're thinking about that, you know, I mean, I'm going to just say it. We know diets don't work. Generally, the majority of people who do short-term extreme diets or follow a route for intentional weight loss end up putting back on that weight. And there's research to show that. And we also know how dangerous yo-yo dieting, otherwise known as weight cycling, can be. And I'll put a link to Lyndall Bacon's book, Health Every Size, in the show notes, just to help people understand that if they are in the sort of in the way of weight cycling and their weight going up and down, I want people to know that it's actually not massively good for you, not just physically but also mentally. But what happens if someone loses a lot of weight for their wedding and then they end up after the wedding, their body changes, either it goes back to what it was before or it changes in some way? You know, that can be quite a difficult thing. You've had a million photographs taken on that day and they're the ones that you have up around your house, and then you're forever looking back at them going, I don't like that anymore.
Or you could go, look at how fucking great I am, and I've changed and I've aged and I've done this and I've done that. But I don't know, even just saying that is like looking for the negative. Like, we're always looking for the negatives in ourselves.
Is that what I'm doing right now?
a wee bit. Taking a compliment is such a difficult thing, and I think all of us need to learn to just say thanks and not be like, and like try and bash it. I love wedding photos because they capture those moments, and there's people in them that won't be around forever. And it comes up for me again and again that people that are really important to the wedding couples that I've worked with have died, and those pictures are something that they go to. It's one of the first things that you'll see on social media when that person is gone. It'll be one of those pictures of them together, and you just think, you know, that's what it's about. That's why we take them, to remember all the people that loved you at that point, that were there with you celebrating. It's not about, oh, you know, did you have the perfect spray tan, or, you know, were your bingo wings on show or whatever? Like, fuck all that shit. It's more important than that, what a wedding is about. They shouldn't, the whole pressure is bullshit.
That's a really nice reminder. Like, if there is anyone that does look back on their wedding photographs with that sort of critical perspective of like, well, now I don't look like that, or I didn't look the best I could on the day. It's like, look wider than yourself. Look at your day.
Uh-huh. And remember what it was for. Remember the purpose of it. Remember that it was about the two of you telling each other that you accept each other for who you are. No?
Definitely. It's not just about weight that gets a lot of focus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is kind of a large aspect of this conversation around beauty and weddings, but there's like a huge amount of other beauty things that people take into considerations. I mean, I know that I'm thinking of like sunbeds and getting your hair done and makeup, but like there's more than that. Nails, I suppose.
Yeah, there's everything. It's like you have to, like, I don't know, inject, wax, attach. Like, it's insane the amount of things you could actually do if that was the way you wanted to go. Like, you could completely change, you know, look at like sort of Kardashian way of being. You can create a complete mask from head to toe if that's your jam. There is pressure to buy into all of those different things at a wedding because, yeah, we're supposed to be like preened and like swanny, you know, or peacocky or whatever whatever bird suits the chat.
Hair removal, lots of, yeah. Like, you've got the hair on your head's got to be long and the hair on your body has got to be absent.
It's a fine line though, isn't it, between like self-validating and going, do you know what, I don't like that thing about myself, so I will like change it and I'll feel better because it's just a thing, or it becoming something that is all consuming and it's like any kind of coping strategy in life, I suppose. It can become something that isn't a healthy thing. So it's just always being aware of whether you're doing something to feel good or you're doing it because that thing makes you feel horrific. Like, I think it's a very fine line, finding a balance.
Yeah, but it also doesn't help when there's people externally trying to sell a product to you that's making your thoughts about this aspect of your body amplified. Like, there was So someone sent a message and said, when we first started planning our wedding, I went to a few wedding fairs to get an idea of what was out there. And I swiftly stopped this after a staff member at Debenhams cornered me to first try to get me to set up a wedding list with them, then to take out a honeymoon plan through them. And when I turned them both down, she asked me what I was going to do about my skin. I'm in my mid-30s and I'm still prone to a few spots. This, the woman said, was not something that could be accepted on my wedding day. This was about 2 years before my wedding, and she reckoned I would have just enough time to go through a treatment program with their beauty consultants that should sort me out. She pressured me to make an appointment, and I was so stunned that I did, and then later called to cancel.
That's horrific. Can you imagine what a shit job to have? That's
wedding fairs are funny ones, aren't they?
I find them terrifying. I only do wedding collective ones because they are just a bunch of kind of independent creative people going, we really like working with creative couples, come and hang out. And it's not like this hard sell thing of, you need to be a better human being before you can do this, by the way, by buying my wonderful powders or whatever. Like, it's none of that pressure. The hard sell is always going to be there as long as there's always big weddings, I guess, because people budget lots of money for it. So it's like anything, it's always going to exist if there's cash to be taken. Mm-hmm. Before you even think about doing anything like that, have a think about what you're going to it for. Are you going there to get ideas of how you want to decorate a space? Or are you trying to think about what kind of venue you want to use? Or are you looking at, you know, specific trends for whatever you're going to wear? Or there's a million reasons why you could go to those things, but there's also a bunch of reasons why you could just not. If, you know, it's something to do with like your mum and your bridal party or whatever, then have a good think about which one you want to go to and the kind of suppliers that they're going to have there. Are they going to match up to what you're actually into? Are they going to represent you? Are they going to be someone that you can work with to express yourself in the event that you're making? Mm-hmm. And if it's a no and it's just like this big, massive, intimidating business thing, then go for lunch instead. Just go and hang out and chat about what you want to do. You don't have to do all these things. You don't have to do the whole take your mum and all your bridesmaids on a Saturday morning when you're all hungover to this horrifically intimidating bridal shop. Like, you don't have to do those things, you know? As soon as you decide that you're going to have a wedding, think about what you want that wedding to be like and who you are together. And then tailor what you actually do and how you bring the people that you love, that you want to be part of it, into that planning process. Do it in a way that makes sense for you, that feels good, that's a joyful experience. Don't allow yourself to be pressured into following anything that's supposedly a tradition that is actually just a sales technique.
Yeah, there was a story of a woman who was so nervous about going to a bridal store because she was plus size, and she ended up buying the first dress that she put on because they had like three dresses in a larger sample size, and she was so relieved that one fit, she started crying, and the bridal assistant took it that she was like, oh my god, I'm in love with the dress. And it's like, no, this is over. She just ended up buying it, and it just sounded like a whole traumatic experience. Like, you get so anxious over it. And you don't have to do that. Like, my other pal bought two wedding dresses online, returned one that didn't fit, one that was the right size and one, you know, just to see what size is. And then two exact same dresses, and then just returned one that was the wrong size. And that was her. And she was like, yep, that's me done. I don't want to go through all that hassle.
Well, that's it. I kind of hope that the fact that this whole year has been just like wiped out for weddings will make people that are kind of getting married in the next couple of years, whatever, really think about these things and sort of take on board that you can just do whatever the fuck you want. That's the beauty of it. It's a celebration of you. So embrace that part of it and just wear what you want. Wear something that feels comfortable, that you're like, I look fucking amazing today. Like, I feel great. It's about how you feel inside. It's not about the external. And in a way it is, obviously, because everybody's like, ooh. We have this whole pressure to kind of perform on the day because you're center of attention. but just do yourself, like be who you are, invest in yourself. You know, you could waste thousands of pounds on stuff, like things that don't matter. Put into your budget some time and energy for, I don't know, doing something mindful or going and getting massages regularly, because the stress of planning is causing you to feel anxiety. Take time out from planning if you're getting stressed out by it, and just do something that feels good together. After the wedding's done, you'll be married people. You know, you won't have to chat about that anymore. Like, don't let it be all consuming. I sort of feel that there's quite often so much pressure that couples end up, like, it's all they talk about after work. You know, they're like planning and they're making stuff and they're doing this and they're having to deal with family politics and loads of suppliers and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, actually, just take time out, go and write a journal or whatever, and like let all that shit come out and process it in a way that's healthy for you.
Surprised people actually end up getting to the wedding day.
Oh, it's honestly, it's insane. Sometimes you just feel like couples are like so under pressure to provide this huge sort of extravaganza. And it's like, it's not about any of that at all. I think this year though will change that a little bit. I see already like couples are kind of embracing what they want to do a wee bit more. It's kind of a good excuse to kind of go, well, fuck that shit. That's,
yeah, like maybe the fact that it is so restricted, they're going, okay, well, what are actually the most important parts of this for us? Yeah, I think that'll like strip things back and make people pinpoint the like intrinsically like, important.
You want to spend 40 grand on this huge day that feels like a massive pressure, or do you want to spend half of that on something smaller that's far more personal to you and invest the rest of that in yourselves, in your future? I'm talking myself out of work here, but I'm saying that.
Well, I mean, they still want a photographer.
Well, obviously. I mean, you need to document these things.
Can I just say one more story that someone sent in from a wedding fair that just made me burst out laughing? She said, I was freshly engaged and enjoying my first wedding fair with my friends. We were walking around, checking the stalls, dipping in and out of the ones that caught our eye. The last two stalls on the left were for cosmetic fillers and Botox and weight loss. Veering away from them both, a man from the weight loss stall literally interrupted the conversation he was having with someone, dodged past my two friends and shoved a pamphlet in my hand. I spent days afterwards wishing I'd confronted him about why my body instilled such a response that he literally couldn't finish a sentence without presenting me with his starve yourself happy pamphlet.
Wow.
I love her. But it's also, you know, it's not just the brides that have to deal with the pressure.
Yeah, I think everybody's under this pressure. That's part of it. It's like the grooms, and I don't know, there's always someone in the bridal party or the groom's party who maybe doesn't feel as confident about themselves. And you see it because you're photographing people, you know, and you can tell that they should have had a conversation at some point that they haven't had. I think quite often we work with couples who will have like a bridesmaid who has just had a baby, for example. There's quite often, you know, a newborn there that they're trying to sort of learn to breastfeed and stuff, but they have to wear this big dress or whatever, and it's like a massive stress for them, and they're, you know, postpartum weight, and the pressure of being photographed, feeling exhausted. There's so many different things that come up.
And pregnant bridesmaids.
Pregnant bridesmaids, yeah, we work with lots of pregnant bridesmaids. And I just sort of feel like it is it's a thing that maybe wedding couples need to remember. It's not just going to affect them. It's going to affect everybody that's being photographed or that's a part of the sort of ceremony and celebrations.
Yeah, to really like kind of look out for your bridesmaids. I think that's a job of a bride. Like if you're going to ask someone to be your bridesmaid, then you kind of have to take into consideration what they're going to experience through that process.
And yeah, you probably should know them well enough to know if they have specific insecurities that might make the whole process a less enjoyable experience for them too. So think about that before you kind of demand that they all wear the exact same outfit, or make sure that it's a group effort, that it's something that feels fun and that you can connect through.
There's definitely that bridesmaids comparing themselves to each other and to the bride.
Yeah, definitely.
I've been bridesmaids a few times, and those dresses that you can like do different ways is always good.
Oh my God. Yeah, but those dresses are Because then on the morning, you've got, I don't know, half a dozen women freaking out with bits of like fabric just flying all over the place because no one's watched the YouTube video of what combination of like twists and knots you're meant to do to make the thing into an actual thing that like you can keep your boobs in. Yeah,
I remember one where I almost like choked myself because I did all these twists up the front and then tied it around the back of my neck and I was, I can't actually breathe.
There's a lot of those though. And I get it, because they are like, you can change them up. But at the same time, like, you don't need to dress everyone in the same thing. Just do what you want. Pick a color or a shape or like a, do something.
Or just have everyone dressing the way they want to dress and then...
Everyone wear something that they feel comfortable in so that everyone's just, by the way, I've got an elasticated waistband. I can't wait for this 5-course meal. Like, just make it an enjoyable experience.
These flats are going to be great on the dance floor later.
Exactly. It doesn't, I don't know, we buy into these things and it's like, take a step back and remind yourself that you don't have to. And I know I keep saying the same thing, but it's true. Embrace what it's all about and enjoy it, especially after this whole year of not being allowed to even like listen to fucking music in a bar or whatever. Like, afterwards, it's going to be amazing because we're all just going to go, but now we can like listen to a fucking band play and dance around with our pals and remember what it's really for.
I think, you know, when you're a bride and you're choosing your bridal party or your groom and your groomsmen, you know, you do have to consider them. I know it's tough because you've got to consider yourself. The guests also feel the pressure when it comes to weddings. We had a story in from someone who was going to be a guest. And she said, I felt under such crippling pressure to live up to expectations. It's not just about body shape. It's about not appearing a giant in heels, not showing your knees because you'll be inappropriate, not dressing for the weather because it looked like you're in your underwear. Putting on clothes that are so far from your norm is so compulsory because if you do anything differently, then you're disrespectful somehow. In the last 24 hours, I thought that in order to wear a specific dress colour, I'll need to start sunbedding now so I don't look washed out. I thought about plans to wax my body hair, make preparations for sweating profusely, count up how much it will cost for a manicure and pedicure, all just to fit in. I normally manage my money down to the point where I have to justify spending extra on Tesco Finest tomatoes, but now I'm considering spending an obscene amount on someone else's big day.
See, all that money that you're considering spending, invest in your mental health instead. Because like, to feel all that pressure and anxiety and to overthink a party to that degree, don't put yourself under that pressure. I honestly think, like, why would you do that to yourself? That's not a healthy way to feel.
She mentioned the pressure about having your photo snapped when you're pissed on the dance floor and how you can feel really conscious about that. And like, you've let other people down because you look right state. Those are the best photos.
We always kind of disappear after about 2 or 3 songs because we're like, everyone's looking up pretty well oiled.
We don't need to be here to capture this.
You have to remember, like, a photographer's there to take snaps of people where they look good because it's like our job to sell images, essentially, of people looking good. If everyone looks horrific in the photos, no one's going to want to employ you. We kind of hunt. It's like hunting. You sort of train yourself to spot like groups that are telling a wee joke or whatever, to snap the person that's just about to laugh, or you spot people kind of slyly holding hands while someone else is ranting at them about something, you know. And you learn to spot all the nice little kind of moments of connection between people. And that's what wedding photography is about, for me anyway. It's not about making your pals look like horrific drunks on the dance floor. Like, obviously there'll be shots of people partying because it's a party. You're there to kind of capture all the different bits of connection that come together to make that big party, right? Why are those people invited? And then you sort of start to kind of figure out, kind of creepy really when you think about it,
you're like a wedding prowler. You're a prowler,
totally.
And then you're like, why are those people invited?
Is super voyeuristic, but it's really interesting. Like, I'm really interested by human psychology, and it's really fascinating to watch how a day like that unfolds and all the emotions that are involved in it. The best ones are where like the dad, his voice breaks.
Oh no, don't. I can't do that.
speech, you know, or you have to like always ask the groom, if it's a bride and groom, if he's got a hanky or whatever, because she's, you know, he's going to cry when he sees the person that he loves walking down this crazy little aisle. Those moments are so touching, and people always freak out about being photographed in a state. Oh my God, like, don't take my picture, I'm crying or whatever. But that's you being human. This is what we're fucking here for. Those are the lovely parts of it all. Yeah, I love it when people lose their shit. It's like, what it's all about.
There's a picture of me at my sister when I'm bridesmaid for my sister, and I burst into tears while I was walking up the aisle. It was just overwhelming. And then I'm literally eating my bouquet, trying not to let everyone see that I was crying. So what are some of the things that people can do to take more control of their day if they have those concerns to do with their body or to do with anything to do with, like, you know, the pressure that's put on a wedding day? I know we talked about, like, getting the dress made themselves so they don't have to go or buying something online.
We mentioned it as well, but I'd say visual diet when you're planning is so important. Yeah, making sure that you are aware of that, at least. I think journaling is an amazing thing, because I did like this book called The Artist's Way. Morning pages, exactly. You write 3 pages of just whatever crap is in your head when you wake up, and then you don't really read it again. But it just lets you become so much more aware of your negative self-talk or your patterns and how that sort of seeps in. Brilliant thing to do.
And it gets the thoughts.
All that shit out, exactly. I would totally recommend doing that to everybody, let alone whether you're planning like a huge stressy event or not. But yeah, take control of what you do. Like we said already, don't go to these massive fairs if there's something that's going to intimidate you. And if you know there's going to be people there that are trying to sell fucking Botox and shit like that, then give it a swerve. Like, that's not what you're about. So just be conscious, I think, in the planning stages of what it is that you want from the day, and where, like, look for where you can find those things in a healthy and kind way. Like, family politics and all that, find other jobs for people. Like, if you don't want to go dress shopping with your mum because you know she'll come out with some backhanded chat that's going to really upset you, give her a different job. Like, find something for the day that you can give her to do that's going to make her feel involved, but lets you take a step away from that potential situation without even having to discuss it. If it's something that you know is just going to cause an argument, like, give her something else to do, you know, plan it that way. So you're being kind to yourself from the beginning.
If there's one part that you can kind of give up control of, like, say the bunting isn't a big deal for you, like, hand that over to someone else. It's their role.
Delegate all of that stuff. And if you are feeling stressed out about things like hair and makeup or what you're wearing or whatever, take a step back from it. You don't have to book everything like immediately, you know. If it's not working for you, take a wee step back from it and come back to it later when you've had a good time to like process how you're feeling.
Also, a lot of people say do your own makeup. A lot of people said, I did my own makeup, I wanted to do that, I didn't want anyone else making me look like not myself.
Yeah, I would say makeup artists that are worth their salt will do a trial with you, and they will talk to you about what you would normally wear. They'll be good at sort of natural looking makeup. Just make sure you're looking for people that show images of their work that is something that you would like. Don't book someone that makes everyone look caked in makeup if that's not how you normally wear makeup. If you wear loads of makeup, go for it then, because that's going to represent you. But like, it's a huge industry. There's so many people out there that work in events and weddings. You can find someone that you'll be happy and comfortable to work with. But take your time about it. Don't feel like you have to rush into booking everything immediately. Spread it out so that it's not like a anxiety inducing situation from the start.
And if there was like a way to regularly remind yourself what the day is actually about, or like whether that's like a mantra or whether that's like just coming back to journaling or something, like, yeah. I know I'm talking about, I've never experienced it, so like I'm not, you know, it's like it's ridiculous. Like, I'm actually saying, oh guys, you should just really remember what the day is about. But I do that about other things in my life when I feel pressure about something. It's like, okay, just remember like the real reason, you know, that we're all here, and however that looks, affirmations, meditations, spending time with your partner, just the two of you not talking about the day.
Definitely. Making time to go away and just remove yourselves from the planning process entirely for a while. Don't respond to the messages from your mum freaking out about cupcakes that aren't, that don't need to be made until 2022. Like, just take a step back from it and remind yourselves you're not getting a degree in event planning. You're organizing a celebration. I think it can become all-consuming, and it doesn't have to.
So. Someone sent in and said, my advice would be to really think about why you're making the choices you are and trying to ignore the endless bombardment of what it should be. Make sure your dress shows off the real you. And if you're going to spend money, then spend them on bespoke.martins.
Quite right.
I love that. Like the getting a dress that you feel comfortable in and that's in your size is... whatever you want your size to be on that day. Like, you feel like, I'm not saying people shouldn't lose weight for their wedding, but like I'm a bit like concerned about the pressure that people put on themselves around that. Yeah. But it's your body, you do what you want with your body, but just make sure that your dress is something that you can attain, you know, like that size is something you can attain.
Most of my favorite weddings that I've shot have been days where the couple have decided to wear something that isn't necessarily a proper wedding outfit, if you know what I mean. Like, they've decided to wear something that represents them. Like, I've shot weddings where the bride has worn a suit, a beautiful cream suit, or the groom has worn tartan trousers instead of a suit because it was going to be too sweaty anyway. You know, we've had like groomsmen passing out because they're wearing three-piece tweed on like the one hot day we get in July.
Oh my God, these Scottish people cannot cope with that.
Oh, it's too much pressure. And if you're getting married, like, think about where you're getting married as well in terms of what you're going to wear. Do you need to wear this massive meringue dress if you're getting married in a field? Because it's just going to get muddy and then you're going to spend the whole day freaking out about mud instead of enjoying yourself.
And so, if you're having a ceilidh, do you want something that's like going to be trailing that you're going to have to pick up all the time when you're having the best fun of your life being swung around by the person you just got married to?
Exactly. And do you want to wear it again? Is it something that can you get two-piece outfit instead of a fancy frock that you can then wear again or wear bits of, so that you don't feel like the pressure of having to look amazing in this thing that costs loads of money? Make it an investment that you can then wear again, so that that in itself takes some of the pressure off of how you feel about how you look on the day.
My mum would say, oh, you know, if you're going to get a wedding dress, make sure it's something that you can dye black afterwards.
Like, people can go nuts. Like, there's quite often brides are wearing a dress that costs twice as much as us being two photographers working for 12 hours on the day, and then... like, I don't know, I like taking about a week to like edit the pictures. It's twice as much as we're charging for that one piece of clothing. Of course, you're going to feel pressure about what you look like if you're like literally wearing the price of a car, you know, or a holiday or whatever. Don't put yourself under the pressure of having, you don't have to wear something that costs $2,500 if it's going to make you feel horrific. Yeah. What's the point? That's such a waste of money and time.
But if you want to buy a dress, it's just got to really enjoy it.
You've got $2,500 to wear in a dress, then happy days.
You've mentioned quite a lot about like not sticking to tradition if you don't want to, and don't do anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, and just sack it off and do something your own way. But you also mentioned shooting a first look.
Yeah, first looks are great to do. They take the pressure off of couples that are, if you're camera shy, if you're quite emotional. We've worked with couples, for example, there was a bride who, when she gets anxious, she gets like a, well, it's a common thing, like you get like a kind of rash, like an anxiety.
Oh, the redness on your, yeah.
So, brilliant idea to shoot a couple's shots before the ceremony, and then there's not that pressure of seeing each other in your finery for the first time, like with all of your guests staring at you. So it takes the edge off. So what essentially all it is we take the wedding couple to somewhere away from everyone else for, I don't know, like 20 minutes or whatever before the ceremony instead of after. You get to see each other and have that little moment together before walking down the aisle. So if you're a super emotional person or really nervous or get panic attacks or you're scared, like you'll faint or whatever, like take all the stress of all of those worries away and just do it before. And then you actually... it's so nice because you see couples, like, they have all these little conversations that maybe they wouldn't have had. You know, they're too, like, too busy worrying about, like, what time, like, everything's happening and blah, 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 blah.
Or they're stuck in that tradition of, like, are you not allowed to see the bride or groom until, like, you see them at the top of the aisle?
Well, that's true. I mean, we're saying all of these things, and sometimes I guess they're not actually possible depending on your religion or your beliefs. But if they are, they're definitely things to consider, because anything that can take this pressure out of it is a really good idea. We just get so much more from it as well as photographers when the couple are relaxing into the day and being present in it. The way I shoot is mainly candid. You're seeing, like, genuine joy instead of genuine stress and anxiety. Do you know what I mean? If you can have a proper day that's just about you, that doesn't really involve any traditions other than the ones that you feel represent what you're all about, don't buy into any pressure to do stuff that you don't want to do.
The ultimate method of, like, avoiding all of that would be, like, eloping.
And you're seeing that more and more because it's your only option right now.
Yeah.
And I think actually the knock-on effect of it will be really interesting. It will open up lots of different ideas. Like, I've been working on, I was losing my shit during lockdown watching all of the wee businesses that I value kind of have to close down. And at the beginning, when we were kind of told you probably shouldn't go to, like, restaurants, bars and stuff, but we're not going to shut them down because that would, like, affect our pals insurance company or whatever, like, I was going spare about it, and I started up a wee thing called the Elopement Society, which I'd kind of been talking about for ages with pals who are also kind of in the wedding trade. Essentially, it's just a bunch of wee businesses that aren't necessarily all traditional wedding suppliers, but who are perfect for it, and they're all kind of local to me. So Leith, Portobello, East Lothian. It's just to kind of open up the idea and the conversation about the fact that you can do whatever the fuck you want. Like, why not just go to your favorite bar for a dance later on when you're allowed to do that? Why not kind of take, I don't know, 30, 40 people to your favorite restaurant and eat tacos instead of, like, you know, instead of, like, coaching them out to this countryside house that you've never been to before? Like, make it more personal. Take everyone that you love on a date. Just go to, like, get married in your favorite gallery or, like, record shop or do whatever the fuck you want. Like, enjoy it, make it creative, like, do something fun and different so that when it's the 15th wedding of the year that your pals are at, they go, that was fucking great, like, we had so much fun and it was so about you. We don't have to follow all of these traditions in any way. Like, you can totally personalize it and make it fun and make it something that's different, and it being about you and feeling different and feeling personal will take half the pressure off as well.
If I ever get married, I've said to my best pal, who's an events organizer, she ran many festivals in Scotland. I told her that I want her to recreate one of those many festivals for my wedding. Oh. Where it's just band after band, and we're taken to little unknown places beside lochs so that we could just jam away to different singers and poets. And that's my dream. I'd love that. Lovely. Someone sent us a message about eloping, actually, because that's what she did with her partner. She said, eloping with 3 weeks between decision to elope and wedding day gave me zero option to change a thing about myself. Plus, we got married, just the two of us. So it removed all feeling of being watched and being the focal point. In addition, we had no professional photos done. So it was just whatever we snapped on the day. I understand this is not for everyone and is not at all traditional, but it meant I felt no societal pressure, no feeling less than, no need to conform, no fitting into someone else's idea of what the day should be or how I should look. There was no Pinterest involved and no hashtag goals.
Yeah, that's it. You don't have to have a celebration. And then couples that do that quite often now are like having a party like a year later or whatever. You know, you can go away and get married and then celebrating with just a party where there's not that kind of ceremonial aspect of it takes the pressure off as well, because you don't feel like, well, you are the center of attention still, but it's not got the kind of like everyone silent listening to you exchanging vows center of attention vibes to it. Mm-hmm. So you can have the best of both. Why not?
So who are the sort of people that you would suggest following to kind of start off your social media diet that is like a bit more healthy than maybe what you were normally used to?
So there is an Instagram page called Kinship Collaborative, which is a brilliant page. It's aimed at engaged couples. All of their chat is kind of about self-care and relationship care, anxiety and attachment theory, things like that, that kind of feed into the way you are in a relationship, how you deal with any kind of arguments or negative patterns and all sorts of things. Like, they cover all sorts of things. Brilliant. Because as you're planning, guaranteed there's loads of other things that will start to come up from the past that you have to process at the same time. Mm. And a lot of things that you might be feeling in terms of negative feelings about yourself and your body, we kind of mentioned earlier, might actually be completely about something else. And it's just like an emotional hangover or whatever from something that happened a long time ago. So it's good to be aware of that and to focus on making your visual diet all about that kind of resource as opposed to the ones that are going to feed into all your negative feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with Emma Zeck as well. She's a photographer, 24-year-old American woman who has the most amazing Instagram page. She is an absolute genius. I think she's great. She talks about, like, she came from a family, a difficult family with a narcissistic parent. Struggled with codependency and all sorts of negative self-talk. And she goes in great detail about all sorts of different, not even body positive, it's more body neutral chat, which is fascinating. And she's a great person to follow about anything that kind of makes people feel bad about themselves.
We'll put a link to them in the show notes. But where can people find you? In the street, being the prowler.
Yeah. No, I'm on Facebook and Instagram under Solon Photography. And then there's the Elopement Society, which is also on both of those. And my website is just solonphotography.co.uk.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you very much for having the chat. I was looking through the notes last night of, like, the thing that jumped out at me was, like, I'd written fluffer in big capital letters. Like, what did I think it was, like, the bridesmaids, their job is to be the bride fluffer.
Oh yeah, don't do that though. Like, you don't need a fluffer, your photographer will be your fluffer.
All right, the fluffer / prowler.
When you're going away on couple shoots, don't take anyone with you to, like, premiere and shit.
So that's what I wrote fluffer down. Brilliant. Okay, cool. Well, thank you very much, Solon, and I will speak to you very, very soon. Thanks again. Well, I bet you're glad that I had a sweary disclaimer at the start, huh? Thanks to Solon for this great little chat. I hope it was helpful for some couples out there who plan to get married in the near future, and I hope it is the near future for you. Check out the show notes of ways to find Solon and the Elopement Society, and remember to rate, review and subscribe this podcast wherever you listen to yours. Give me a shout if you have any interesting topics you'd like to chat about. And for this little episode, Izzy wanted to shout you my sentiments. Here she is.